Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Making Room with me, your host, Marley Martin. As always, I am so blessed and so excited to have this time with you. Today's episode is called Labor and Lent. For those of you who don't know, I just had baby number three, and I really just want to share with you guys my experience of what labor was like with this one, as opposed to with my other two. And how it has just really transformed my heart and my mind and in this season of Lent. So without further ado, let's get started. I also want to add a little preface here and say, Margaret is on my chest currently. I'm wearing her in this little harness. We've got a new ice maker, so you may hear that in the background. I am on maternity leave, and so I am just in the thick of motherhood right now. So just making some lemonades out of lemons here. You guys bear with me, okay? So I had several people ask me if I was going to work all the way until delivery or if I would be taking off ahead of time. And I decided that I was just going to work until I either went into labor or we had scheduled an induction. So my first two were scheduled. My firstborn, Parker Louise, was a scheduled induction because I was not progressing on my own. And so I went in, was put on some Pitocin. Just a slow drip to get labor going. We were there for what felt like forever, and I received an epidural and had her. Everything went well. With John Thomas, our second, he was breech, and so I had a C-section. And so for this pregnancy, my birth plan, if you will, was to have a VBAC and still receive the epidural, but try for another vaginal delivery. And so I was at work on Valentine's Day. I had had a lot of contractions prior to this date, some that I actually almost took myself to the hospital and was like, this could really be it. This could really be labor. But I didn't want to be embarrassed by showing up at the hospital for them to just turn me away and send me home. So I did what they recommend that you do, drink water, lay down, take a bath, all these things. And if you're still uncomfortable, then you should come in. Well, of course, I would lay down, take my bath, drink some water, do all the things I was supposed to do, and then would fall asleep and was obviously not in labor. Well, Valentine's Day, I went to work and was still having these contractions that I had been having earlier in the week. But something about this felt a little different, but they were, very bearable. As the day progressed, I realized that my back was starting to hurt a little, and these contractions definitely were feeling different. I also was experiencing some other symptoms that were concerning to me, considering that my very first pregnancy was a miscarriage. And so I decided that I would be going to the hospital just to be checked out because I'd rather be safe than sorry. And having that first pregnancy end in a miscarriage just always keeps, I don't want to say fear necessarily, but it definitely keeps you concerned throughout your pregnancies. And so, there was enough reason for me to feel concerned, so I called my husband. I drove home from work. We met at the house, handed off the older two children, and we got to the hospital at 5:30 on Valentine's Day, which also, for those of you who remember, was Ash Wednesday, the first day of Lent. And so I hadn't had a ton to eat that day due to fasting and abstinence and all these things. And fast forward, I was actually in labor. They did admit me into the hospital. I was ready for epidural. Things were progressing quickly. The epidural did not take for whatever reason. I don't blame, the hospital staff or anything like that. I just think this is the way God intended this delivery to go for me. The funny part to me is that I went in at like 3 or 4 centimeters and I kept saying, these contractions are painful. I mean, I'm having to focus through them. I can still talk, but I don't know why anybody would want to deliver naturally. I mean, all power to them. I think it's incredible the women who do it and have done it, but I'm a weenie and I want the epidural. So after being admitted, I do receive the epidural and I sort of felt it working on the left side of my body, but every time a contraction would come, I would completely feel it on the right side and it was excruciating pain. I was squeezing Adam's hand through each contraction, really taking some deep breaths and trying to get through it the best that I could. And in addition to that, they needed to put in a catheter, which I explained my epidural had not taken. And so their plan was to roll me onto my right side, let gravity pull the medicine to the right side, use the peanut ball. For anyone who's ever had a baby, you probably experienced the peanut ball. However, it wasn't effective. It wasn't helping. And so I requested the catheter be removed because it was so extremely painful. And that process was also not pleasant, as you can imagine. Continued to progress. Long story short, the doctor is called in. I'm at 10 centimeters and ready to start pushing and delivering my baby. And my epidural has still not started to work. And so at this point, it is too late. There's nothing I can do except birth my child and feel all the things, which has never been part of my plan for any of my children, as I mentioned before. A lot of moms go in with a birth plan. And I remember them asking me when I first got there what the birth plan was. And all I said was, I really want to go for a VBAC. If I have to end up at a C-section, obviously that's fine. You know, I just want her brought into the world healthy and safe. And so with that, laboring began, the active labor, the pushing. And again, it was Ash Wednesday. So it's the first day of Lent. And I truly felt like 40 days of Lent was packed into 15 minutes of me pushing this child into the world. It was hands down the most painful thing I've ever experienced physically. I think that, to bring a little humor into it, I can tell you that the actresses in the movies do not do a good job depicting the true pain that occurred for me. I felt everything. I could feel the doctor trying to help. I could feel the baby descending. Once they placed her on my chest, I could still feel the umbilical cord connected from me to her. And it was a really dramatic experience in the sense of, that's not what I was prepared to experience. And I think a lot of times during Lent, we go in with, I guess you could say, a birth plan. We go in with this idea of what our Lent is going to look like, you know, what it is we're going to be sacrificing, or how much it is we're going to be fasting, and maybe even the graces that we'll receive and the joy that will come at Easter. But as my dad always says, funny how God works. He always has a plan that's greater than our own. And so while it's good to be prepared and it's good to go in with a plan, we also have to be open-minded to the idea that he's got a better plan, or he has a different plan. And while it may be unexpected, while it may be painful, the graces that come from his plans are always greater than the graces that come from our own. When I retold the story of this delivery, I had several people say, oh my goodness, that's so horrible. I'm so sorry. You know, has that scared you away from having more children? And the answer is absolutely not. As terrible as it was also so beautiful. It was also me relying on my husband for support emotionally and mentally, for him to be there and to be encouraging to me. I'm not gonna lie to you guys, I was yelling, I was screaming in pain. And I had passed my phone to my little sister to video the moment. And in the video, not only do you hear me screaming as if I'm being tortured, which in a sense I was, but also I just kept saying, oh God, oh God, oh God, oh Jesus, 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 oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God, why does it hurt? Oh God, oh Jesus, just on repeat. And once I delivered my baby and they had her on my chest and they were cleaning her up, the doctor and the nurses said, you didn't even use any profanities. Like, you just kept saying God and Jesus, and they were all giggling about it. And I don't remember my exact words, but it was something along the lines of, he is the only person who could help me in this moment. Yelling out profanities and curse words was not going to ease my pain. It was not going to comfort me at all. And I didn't realize that's what I was saying. I didn't realize I was saying Jesus and God on repeat. But knowing my heart and my spirituality, it makes total sense that that's what I would say, because I needed the Lord to be my epidural. I needed him to relieve my pain. I needed him to be my savior, not just of my sins and all my wrongdoings, but to comfort me and heal me in that moment, because that's where I go when things are bad. And that was really one of the worst in my physical experiences, as I mentioned. But after being home and learning this new dynamic as a mother of three, balancing our home life and all of the responsibilities that still exist, plus having this beautiful new human with us, I have felt a complete transformation in my motherhood. I have felt more comfortable and more confident in my motherhood. I think that for me personally, the more children I have, the more of a mother I feel. And I will get into that in another episode about ugly truths and true friends, which I posted about on social media and you are all very excited to hear about. And I hope I don't disappoint with that content. But I think that the Lord, again, during this Lent, as I navigate postpartum, as I navigate being a mom of three, as I reflect on how my Lent started on Ash Wednesday with a delivery that was dramatic and unexpected, that the Lord has really come into this place with me. In a sense, I have been in the desert with Him. There hasn't been a ton of sacrifice because I need all the calories with breastfeeding and, you know, I'm sleeping a lot. I'm not doing a whole lot of like productive, proactive Lenten things as maybe I originally planned. But I really feel like I'm in the desert with the Lord. And it's really He and I relying on one another and consoling one another. And it has been a beautiful, beautiful journey. I hope and I pray that your Lent has also been beautiful and powerful and transformative. If we are not willing to transform, if we're not willing to sacrifice and turn over our lives, our birth plans, our Lenten plans to the Lord, we are missing out on so much grace and mercy from the Lord. And I just want to wrap this up in prayer for you and for how your Lent is going. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Jesus, you are Lord of lords and King of kings. You are the King of peace. I pray that during this Lent, during our sacrifices, during our fasting, during our abstinence, during our almsgiving, in these moments of discomfort spiritually, that we are reminded that you are the Prince of Peace, that you alone are the source of peace, that there is a God-shaped hole in all of our hearts that only you can fill. Help us to not rely on our own willpower to succeed during this time of sacrifice, but to unite our hearts to yours, to truly embrace and embody all that you are, that our lives may mirror who you are. We give you all glory and praise. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I know that a lot of you have been waiting for some more podcasts to drop, and I am so excited that I had some time today and some energy with the help of a little coffee and some snuggles from Margaret to get this done and to get this out to you. I truly enjoy just sharing what the Lord has put on my heart, and I hope that it impacts you because it comes from Him through me. I try to just be an instrument for the Lord to use me as He wills. And so with that, I will wrap this up and talk to you guys soon. God bless.